Which is cool.
We're not, Rebbe, after this man, like, on the break, we're not going to be getting together.
Azmanim. I don't like to call it Ben Azmanim because there's no such thing as Ben Azmanim from learning, but officially the yeshivas and the kolim are closed. Clearly, we
This,
carry on
yeah,
learning.
but this is like more of a chabura, right? So.
This is a chabura. We'll see what happens, Ben Azmanim. And you also need a bit of a break, but we'll see what happens.
You're too busy digesting the matzah.
Pesach Ben Azmanim is a busy time for me. There's no break for me. It's not quite true, actually. It's not quite true. No, it's not true. I personally use Ben Azmanim as a prime time to do chazara of those things that I learned in Kollel during Zman. So that time is very precious, very, very, very precious. Closer to Pesach, clearly it gets busier, but okay, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see.
Before Pesach is a hard time for Rabbanim because they're seeing stars.
Seeing lots of things, actually. Rightio, let's go to the Yud Beis Amud Aleph at the bottom. We are still discussing the subject of Ibur Shana, which has been our subject for a while now. And we are on the six lines from the bottom of the Daf Yudam Lamed Aleph. The first word on the line is Rabbonon. Tana Rabbonon. Ein ma'abrin es hashana mipnei hatuma. Now, perhaps we should make an introduction to this piece of Gemara. It's a very, very important Yesodistic piece of Gemara. As we know, generally, one cannot enter the Beis HaMikdash if one is in a state of tumah. If one does so, there's an Issur d'oraisa, one cannot be makriv a korban, there's no tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. However, there is an exception to the rule. What is the exception to the rule? The exception to the rule is when the tzibur, when Klal Yisrael, either in their entirety or at least roiv, are tameh. When Klal Yisrael are tameh, then the halachas of tumah are actually waived. So, for example, when it comes to Pesach, if somebody is tameh, they cannot be makir of the korban Pesach, and they'll have to wait till the next month, and that's why we have Pesach Sheni. But if all of Klal Yisrael or roiv of Klal Yisrael are tameh, first time round, then we allow the korban to be sacrificed even in a state of tumah. Now, there is a very important addition to that halacha, which will going to be relevant to the Gemara and Amud Beis, but let's make mention of it now. There is a machloikas, and I'll tell you what the machloikas is called, and then we'll try and explain it. Tumah is hutra betzibur, or tumah is dechuya betzibur, hutra or dechuya. What does it mean? Literally translated, hutra means it is permitted, hutra from the word mutar. Dechuya from the word dochui means it's not permitted, it's pushed aside. Meaning, there is a machloikas as to whether the halachas of tumah are pushed aside when the tzibur are tomei. And by the way, whenever we talk about the tzibur being tomei, it either means all of them or even if roiv. So when the tzibur is tomei, the halachas of tumah are mutar, or are they simply pushed aside? What's the difference between permitted and pushed aside? So the Gemara will explain, and I don't want to go into the whole discussion because we'll see more details of this on Amud Beis and Mitzvah Hashem. But if the halachas are pushed aside, essentially that means that they exist. But rather, they are pushed aside, which means if somehow it can be avoided, that's definitely best. Whereas if you go with opinion, tumah hutra b'tzibur has been completely permitted, then there's no inyan to try and avoid it. Okay, so just to make this more understandable, imagine you have chas v'shalom on Shabbos, somebody who's a choila. Somebody who's a choila. meaning chayla sheyesh boi sakana. So we are allowed to be mechalal Shabbos, and we must be mechalal Shabbos to save that chayla. Is that hutra or dechuya? Meaning, is it permitted, or the halachas of Shabbos are pushed aside? Meaning, does one have to try and avoid it if you can? And the answer is, it's actually a machlokes, but that's the way we paskin. We paskin that you have to try and avoid it if you can. So if the fellow is in front of you and you need to do a malacha to save his life, well, if you can do the malacha, for example, in an unusual manner, which means it will not be an issa min ha-teira, it will be downgraded to drabanon, then you're mechuyev to do that. If you cannot, then obviously you've got to do the malacha in the correct manner. If you would hold that chilul Shabbos for the sake of a chayla is hutra, so it's as good as saying it's not Shabbos at all. Imagine you had somebody who is deathly ill today on Sunday. Are you allowed to do a malacha? Is there any inyan to try and avoid doing malacha? Obviously not. It's not Shabbos. I don't even have to try. I don't even have to try and minimize the halachas, the malacha, because it's not Shabbos. So if you hold that in the situation of pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, it's hutra, then basically you are considering Shabbos as Tuesday. It might as well be Tuesday. Therefore, there's no necessity whatsoever to try and downgrade the malacha. Whereas if you hold it's dechuyo, no, it's just merely pushed aside, but it doesn't disappear. Therefore, if you are able in any which way to be mamait, then that's what you're mechuyev to do. So to in our discussion over here with Tuma,
is it
if you go with the opinion of Tuma hutra b'tzibur, that means once the tzibur are in a state of Tuma, then the halachas of Tuma simply don't apply, and there's no necessity to try and even avoid them. Whereas if you hold that Tuma is dechuya b'tzibur, then dechuya means the halachas still exist, they're pushed aside. If you can avoid them, that's best. If you can't, then that's fine.
Isn't it actually a lot, if someone is deathly ill on Shabbos, isn't it a halacha, a chiyuv, to do whatever you can to save him? Isn't that itself a halacha, a mitzvah?
Sure, I didn't disagree with that. The question is, if it's able to be done without doing a malacha, are you mechuyev to do that? There's no discussion whatsoever. If you need to do a malacha to save somebody's life, you're absolutely mechuyev. The question is, if I've got two ways of doing it, I need to phone the Hatzalah on Shabbos. I can either phone them in the normal manner, or I can do it with the back of a fork in an unusual manner. Am I mechuyev to do that or not? Obviously, if I'm unable to do it with a fork because it's not going to go, obviously you've got to do it in a normal manner. These are, by the way, shailas I'm asked every single week, particularly in a situation where somebody, a wife, is in the end of the ninth month. She's due to have a baby. The question is, what can be done on Shabbos? What happens if my wife needs to go in a hospital in an ambulance on Shabbos? Do I call that Salah? How do I call that Salah? What can I take with, etc., etc.? Now, all of those are valid questions only because we paskin, with regard to Chilul Shabbos for Ochayla, that it's Dechuya, not Hutra. If it's Dechuya, then yes, you need to do absolutely whatever's necessary, but what's unnecessary, we don't do.
So for instance, if you have to drive someone to the hospital with serious nefesh, but it's absolutely usher to turn on the radio.
Correct. Correct. So all of these halachas are very, very important. Now, we've gone off subject because we're busy talking about pikuach nefesh on Shabbos, but it's a fair comparison because that's an example of where you find a discussion between hutra versus duchuya. Now let's come back to our discussion. We're not talking about pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. We're talking about a completely different halacha, which is tuma b'tzibur. When the tzibur, all or most of the tzibur are tome, the halachas of tuma do not apply in the Beis HaMikdash. What does that mean they don't apply? So there's going to be a discussion. Either it means hutra, they completely disappear, Or they don't disappear, they're merely put to the side, which means if you can avoid it, one is mukhayyaf to avoid it. Now let's come back to Ibur Shana. Imagine you're now in Chodesh Adar, and Klal Yisrael, for whatever reason, are in a state of Tumah. And if we don't make it a leap year, then 2 or 3 weeks' time is going to be Pesach. And for example, there's not enough Para Aduma to go around to get everybody Tohir in time. So we're going to arrive at a situation where Klal Yisrael are going to want to be Makriv Korban Pesach, but they'll be Tumah, they'll all be Tomei. So I've got a very good idea. What's my idea? Let's make this Shana quickly. Let's add an extra Adar. That gives everybody now 4 extra weeks to get themselves Tohir. Such that by Korban Pesach, they'll all be Tohir, and I won't have to rely on this rule of the halachas of Tumah being waived. Am I mukhayyaf to make a leap year or not? Now everybody understands that is dependent on Hutra versus Duchuya. If you hold that Tumah is Hutra B'tzibur, Tumah is absolutely permitted and there is no necessity whatsoever even to try and avoid it, well, then it's not necessary to make a leap year. What are you worried about? That everybody will be Tomei in 3 weeks' time for Korban Pesach? So be it. Let them be Makrib Korban Pesach, B'tumah, which is perfectly permitted, and there's no necessity to try and even avoid it. Whereas if you hold that Tumah is not Hutra, rather Tumah is Dechuya B'tzibur. So Dechuya means if necessary, then we're going to have to push aside the halachas of Tumah. But if you can avoid it, that will be wonderful. Ah, so maybe there's an Indian to make an Ibur Shana to try and avoid it. This, by the way, open parenthesis, has very interesting ramifications for Hanukkah. Why does it have ramifications for Hanukkah? Because, as we know, the Nes of Hanukkah, they could not find pure oil everywhere, anywhere. So they only had a bit and it lit for 8 days. So there is a famous question that's asked by many Achrayim, is that the whole Beis HaMikdash had just become defiled and become Tomei by the Yevonim. In which case, the halachas of Tumah don't apply anyway. Once the Beis HaMikdash becomes Tomei, then the halachas of Tumah are waived. So if that's the case, who in the world cares that they could not find pure oil? But under the circumstances, you're allowed to light impure oil. So maybe once again, that will depend on our machlekes. If you learn Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, well then it's a good question. Because once everybody there is in a state of Tumah, or the Beis HaMikdash is in a state of Tumah, then the halachas of Tumah are totally waived and don't exist. So there's no distinction really between pure and impure oil. But if you hold Tumah is only Dechuya B'tzibur, means it's pushed aside, but it's not disappearing, well, then we understand. It's still preferable to light pure oil as opposed to impure oil. Okay, with that introduction, now let's come back to our Gemara, 6 lines from the bottom of the Gemara in the Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Tana Rabbanon, Ein Ma'abrin Es Hashana Mipnei HaTumah. One does not make the year into a leap year for reasons of Tumah, as we've just explained. However, Rabbi Yehuda Oimer Ma'abrin. Rabbi Yehuda says, we are Ma'abr the Shana. So we have a machloikas between the Tana Kama and Rabbi Yehuda. The fact that Klal Yisrael are in a state of Tumah, would that mandate us to make a leap year? So now, what does that sound like? What is the machloikas? It sounds like Lechoira, the Gemara will discuss this more on other days, exactly the discussion we just mentioned. If you hold Tuma is Hutra Batsibur, well, then there's no need to make it a leap year. Who in the world cares if Klal Yisrael are Tuma? It's perfectly lechatchila, without any necessity to try and avoid it, to let them be Makrim Korban Pesach, even though they're Tumim. Whereas if you hold that, no, not at all, it's not Hutra, rather it's just Duchuya, oh, well, that's a different discussion. Then, if you can avoid it, you can avoid it. So maybe it is worth making an leap year. It would seem that that's the discussion, although we'll see more talk about this on our base. Have a look at Rashi. Rashi says, on the fourth bottom line, Mepnei HaTuma, Kagoin Shahoyon Nosi Chayla. Imagine the Nosi was considered the highest authority in Klal Yisrael. Imagine he was sick. Omdu, not with an ayin, which means to stand. Omdu with an aleph, which they calculated. Lomus Erev Pesach. They worked out that it looks like, unfortunately, he's scheduled to die in the coming days. And it looks the world like, unfortunately, the Nosi is not going to be with us for much longer. Oi, Shisha or Shnei, depending on your Girsa, or a few days before Pesach. Now, what happens if the Nosi passes away? This is not just a private inyan. This is a public inyan. Everybody's going to want to partake in the Kvura and the Levaya. The Yiyu Tumeim, and all of Klal Yisrael are going to be Tomei. Now, do you understand what Rashi is teaching us over here? What was bothering Rashi over here? What was bothering Rashi is, as we've discussed many times, when do you make a leap year in Adar? Well, how on earth are the Beis Din going to know in Adar whether Klal Yisrael are going to be Tomei on Erev Pesach in 3 weeks' time? The Beis Din are a Novi? Says Rashi, that's what was bothering Rashi, so Rashi answered the question. Yes, sometimes you can predict it. In the event where the Nosi is very, very ill, the doctors have said, listen, unfortunately, he only has 2 or 3 weeks to live, and there's a very high possibility that he's going to pass away shortly before Pesach. All of Klal Yisrael are going to want to attend to his Levi, which means they will all be Tomei, so therefore you've got this situation of Klal Yisrael but Tomei. That's one case. Oy Shahoya Rubon Tumein Besoif Adar, or not something based on the future, something based on the present. Klal Yisrael, for whatever reason, all of them or most of them are already Tomei at the end of Adar. Okay, well, why would that be a problem? We've got plenty of time to become Tahir. The answer is no. The Kolsa Efer Haporo. We just read Parashas Poro yesterday. What happens if the ash of the Poro has finished? Can't just at the snap of a fingers find another Poro Aduma. The Einon Yecholin, they are not able, Limtzoi, to find Achshav now, Poro Aduma. So here we've got two scenarios of where Klal Yisrael look like they're all going to be Tomei, or most of them are going to be Tomei for Pesach. Either the Nosi, unfortunately, looks like he's about to pass away. Everybody's going to want to attend his Levaya. They're all going to be Tomei. Scenario number one. Scenario number two is, no, at the moment, they're already Tomei, and there's simply no Pora Aduma ash to make them Tomei. And it's unlikely that we're going to be able to find one in the next couple of weeks.
Is not part of the consideration the fact that the Nasi is so ill that if he dies before Nisan, then we need him to declare a leap year. We will not have a Nasi to...
Yeah, but that could be less of a concern, because that we can replace him and find a new Nasi. Okay. So presumably if one passes away, the king is dead, long live the king. So we'll appoint the next Nasi.
And probably he was sick already, so they're already anticipating someone to replace him already.
Right. So that can be done in an instant. But to get Klal Yisrael purified, you can't, because you need Pora Aduma. And if there's no Pora Aduma available, for whatever reason, the ash of the Parah Aduma has finished, well, then you're stuck till you find the next one. Says Rashi, in explanation of the first opinion, Ein ma'abrin bekach. That would not be sufficient reason to make an Ibur Shona. Elo, rather, Yasu betumo. They'll jolly well make the Korban Pesach betumo. No problem at all. Aye, surely. But if you'd only make an Ibur Shona, then it's avoidable. So it seems to be that this opinion holds that there's no necessity to avoid it. No necessity whatsoever to avoid it. That was opinion number one. Rashi does not even explain opinion number two. But opinion number two was Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Ma'abrin. That you are Ma'abr the Shona. And if it looks like Klal Yisrael are going to be Tomei in time for Pesach, we should be Ma'abr the Shona. And that way, hopefully, we're going to give ourselves extra time to ensure that they will all be Toher in ready for Pesach. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Maisa b'Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. There was a story with Chizkiyahu, the son of Yehuda. Sorry, the king of Yehuda. Chizkiyahu HaMelech, by the way, who was a tremendous tzaddik, was a son of the wicked king Ochaz. Ochaz was a Rasha. He was involved in Avodah Zarah, and not only for himself, but for others as well. So, Omar Rabbi Yehuda,
Achav or Ochaz?
The Rashi says Ochaz. Ochaz. So Rashi says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Maisa b'Chizkiyahu Melech Yehuda. Chizkiyahu, the king of Yehuda, She'iber es ha'shono mipnei ha'tumo. He did exactly this. He saw that Klal Yisrael were going to become, or going to be, Tomei in time for Pesach, and he was Ma'aber the Shana. Ubikesh rachamim al atzmoi. And he davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for mercy for himself. Which sounds like that he regretted what he did. Diksiv, as this is written, Saposik and Divrei Hayomim, Ki mar beis ha'om, Rabas me Ephraim Omanashe Yisocha Vzvulun Loi Hitoru Yochlu Esa Pesach Beloi Kekosov Ki Hispalel Chizkiyahu Aleim Leimor Chizkiyahu Daven for them, saying Hashem Hatoiv Yechaper Baad. Now, what's going on over here? Something Luchoira does not quite add up. Why does something not add up over here? Because if you're allowed to be Ma'aber the Shana, remember, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is you're allowed to be Ma'aber the Shana. Who's the one quoting this story over here? It is Rabbi Yehuda. Well, if it's Rabbi Yehuda surely is of the opinion, he just told us so. You're supposed to be Ma'abr the Shana. If you're supposed to be Ma'abr the Shana, then that's exactly what Chizkiyahu did. So why did he ask for Rachamim? So why was he Mavakish Rachamim? If you hold like the first opinion, which says you're not supposed to be Ma'abr the Shana, so I understand that if he did so for whatever reason, so he asked Mavakish Rachamim, maybe he regretted his actions. But if you hold like Rabbi Yehuda, and it's Rabbi Yehuda who's the one who's quoting this story, that in fact, you're supposed to be Ma'aber the Shana. You're supposed to be Ma'aber the Shana. Well, if you're supposed to be Ma'aber the Shana, then why was Chizkiyahu HaMelech Mavakish Rachamim? There's nothing to ask Rachamim for. He did exactly the right thing. So let's have a look. Rashi points out to this question. So have a look at the on Rashi. She'iber es ha'shana mepnei ha'tuma. What was going on? She'nitmu'u b'mei ochaz oviv. Klal Yisrael had become Tomei as a result of his father Ochaz mi'avodah zarah. Shelo chashashu l'Torah, they were not concerned with halachos of Torah. V'hoya Chizkiyahu machziron l'mutav. Chizkiyahu HaMelech was machzir, and he returned everybody to Teshuvah. The Yoda, but he knew Shaloi Yaspiku Kulon, that not everybody will be managed in time. Lovoi Velitaher. He realized that everybody's been Chayza B'tshuva, they'd all be Oved Avodah Zarah, they'd all become Tomei, but he calculated that not everybody's going to manage in time to become Toher Ad HaPesach, in time for Pesach. Therefore, Ve'iber Hashana. So in order to give everybody time to, yes, become Toher, he made the year into a leap year. U'bikesh Rachamim Al Atzmoi. But he asked mercy for himself, sheyimchal loy ha'ovoin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should forgive his Avera. Now, says Rashi straight away, one of our favorite expressions in Rashi, Ula kamon porich, and the Gemara is going to ask, Rashi doesn't even tell us what the answer is. What's going on? Hoyil since va'omar Rabbi Yehuda ma'abrin, since Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that you're supposed to be ma'aber the shana, lomo bikesh rachamim al atzmoi. So why on earth was he mevakesh rachamim? Rashi doesn't need to tell us the answer because we've got patience. But Rashi does need to tell us that don't worry, the Gemara is going to ask it why. Because otherwise, everybody who's learning this Gemara gets stuck. We simply don't understand what's posh pshat. How can Rabbi Yehuda say in the same sentence, you're supposed to be Ma'abra the Shono, and then say, Chizkiyo HaMelech did exactly that, but he was Mavakish Rachamim. What did he do Mavakish Rachamim for? He did the right thing.
Maybe it's contingent upon why they were Tomei. If you're Tomei because of Mays. Although, if you're Tomei, right?
We don't need to second guess the Gemara. Rashi says the Gemara is going to ask the Kasha, so we'll see. We'll see what the Gemara says. Okay, I'm turning over the Omid. Reb Shimon Oimer, I'm on the third line. Reb Shimon says, Im mipnei hatuma ibruha mu'uberes. Says Reb Shimon, if the reason why they were ma'aber the shana is because of tuma reasons, then mu'uberes. Then the shana indeed becomes mu'uberes. And if that's the case, Elomi Pnei Ma Bikesh Rachamim Al Atzmoi? Question mark. So if Rav Shimon seems to concur with Rav Yehuda's opinion that what? That a Shana Mu'uberes is made for reasons of Tumah. Well, if that's the case, why on earth was Chizkiyahu HaMelech asking for Rachamim for himself? So the Gemara is going to give two answers. Number one, She'ein ma'abrin elo ador, v'hu iber nisan b'nisan. Do you know why he was mevakish rachamim? Not for the fact that he was ma'abir the shana. That was perfectly okay. The problem is, when did he do so? As we've always stated, you can only have an ador sheni, no other month. Once you're into Nisan, well, it's too late. You cannot declare the previous year Shana Mu'uberes once you're into Nisan. Look at Rashi on the second line. Nisan b'Nisan, la'achar shekidshoi l'shem Nisan. Once they had already sanctified the new month and it had become Nisan, Chozar, he then retracted. V'nimlach, and he changed his mind, v'osoy ador sheni. And they converted Nisan, as it were, retroactively into ador sheni. That's why he was mevakesh rachamim. He was not mevakesh rachamim for the actual fact that he made the shana into mu'uberes. That was perfectly okay. But you've got to do so in ador. You can't do so in Nisan. You cannot, in the middle of Nisan, say, sorry, everybody, this is not, in fact, Nisan after all. It's really Ador Sheni. Nisan's in another month. That you can't do. That's why he was Mavakesh Rachamim. It seems a bit strange. if you're not allowed to be ma'aber the shana in Nisan, so why, in fact, did he do so? What, didn't he know this halacha? The Gemara will discuss this later on. But either way, that's the first answer. So the first answer of the Gemara is that why was he mevakish rachamim? Not for the fact that he made it a shana mu'uberes, but rather for the timing. That he have to do so in Adar, and yet he did so once it was already Nisan. That's answer number one. Says the Gemara, answer number two. Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Oimer, Mishum Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, the son of Yehuda, said the name of a Reb Shimon for a different reason completely. Mipnei Sheheisi Es Yisrael Lasois Pesach Sheini. Heisi means he persuaded or he forced Klal Yisrael to make Pesach Sheni. He did not make the year a leap year at all. According to this opinion, he did not make the year into a leap year. It was Shvat, and then Adar, and then it was Nisan, and indeed all of Klal Yisrael were Tomei. Well, if you did not make it a leap year, forget. Did he have to, or should he, or would he? It's all irrelevant. He didn't make it into a leap year. Well, if you don't make it into a leap year, and it's now come to Pesach, and Klal Yisrael Tomei, what are you supposed to do? That's it. You're supposed to make Korban, Pesach, Rishon. Because the halachas of Tumah are waived. Why did he push everybody off to Pesach Sheni? Pesach Sheni only refers to when there's a Yochid. When there's an individual here, there, and everywhere, that's when there's a loch of Pesach Sheni, but not when Klal Yisrael are Tomei. That's why he was Mavakish Rachamim. So we have two opinions as to what, in fact, the story was. Opinion number one, the story was he made a Shana Mu'uberes. The reason why he was Mavakish Rachamim, because he did so too late. According to the second opinion, no, he never made it to Shana Mu'uberes. He was Mavakish Rachamim for pushing everybody off to Pesach Sheni. Look at Rashi. On the third line, Reb Shimon ben Yehuda Omer, Loi Ibruha. They in fact did not make it into a leap year. Elo, Hisyon le Pesach Sheni. Rather, he pushed everybody off to Pesach Sheni. Sheloi Kedin. Incorrect. That was not the right din. Lefichoch, and that's why Bikesh Rachmim al Atzmoi. So he was Mavakish Rachamim al Atzmoi, not because he made it into a leap year. According to the second opinion, he in fact did not make it into a leap year. The reason why he's Mavakish Rachamim is because for whatever reason, he pushed everybody off into Pesach Sheni. Well, that was in fact the wrong thing to do, because as mentioned, when Klal Yisrael are Tomei, then everybody is Makrib Korban Pesach, not at Pesach Sheni, but in Pesach Rishon.
Maybe he yelled Dechia, not Mutra.
That we'll see later on in the next line as well. So, Mr. Hashem, having made that introduction about Hutra and Duchuya, Mr. Hashem, the next passage of the Gemara, which Be'ezus Hashem is Baruch, will learn tomorrow, should be much easier to understand.
Rabbi, quick question. Isn't it a difference between if Klai Yisrael is Tomei Meis, let's say, it's the Kedusha Ki'ilu, but they were of the Avodah Zarah. So,
yeah, good
maybe
point.
On that terms, he's not allowed to, why he was Mevakesh Rachem.
Fair point, but the Gemara does not distinguish. It seems to be that it's a general halacha. If for whatever reason their Tomei makes no difference, why? My halachas are waived. Okay, we have to hold it over here. Ms. Hashem, we'll take this up tomorrow again.
Have a good day.
Have a great day. Have a great day.